Hello everyone, I am Divya Shekhar and this is From the Bookshelves of Forbes India. In the early 80s, a young man from India joined the Harvard Business School as a faculty. At the time, faculty members were asked to do research on how information technology can affect the world of business and the discipline of management. Here we are in 2024, and all these years later, we are asking the same questions, says the young man, who is now in his 70s and an expert on strategy and innovation. He is also our guest on today's episode. Vijay Govindarajan, or VG as he's called, is the Cox Distinguished Professor at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. He is the author of the best-selling books Reverse Innovation and The Three-Box Solution. His new book, Fusion Strategy, is all about how companies should fuse the physical and the digital to create value. To compete in the new age, the book says, companies need to use real-time data to turbocharge their products, strategies, and customer relationships. VG also believes that AI should be augmented intelligence instead of artificial intelligence, because he believes that intelligent humans and powerful machines in combination is what creates value. So to begin with, can you give our listeners an overview about what fusion strategy is all about?
In the early 80s, when we were asked to research how would information technology affect the world of business, the best piece of computer hardware we had was IBM PC. Yes. With a green screen. That is probably in some museum right now. And the best piece of software we had was Lotus 1-2-3. We didn't know anything about computers getting connected. We didn't know anything about internet. We didn't know anything about mobile. We didn't know anything about Gen AI. We have a lot more digital tools today, but the question is exactly the same question. How would digital technologies affect the world of business? And the real challenge today is physical asset heavy companies. We are talking about automobile company or a tractor or aircraft engine, where value is going to migrate from physical assets to data and AI. Right. That is what we call fusion strategy, because we are essentially fusing the physical and digital to create value. As compared to the previous generation of digital transformation, where the physical product disappeared.
Yeah.
Imagine a camera. Mm-hmm. Camera just disappeared. Whereas a tractor is not going to disappear. An automobile is not going to disappear. But the value is going to shift from physical assets to data and AI. That is what fusion strategy is all about.
Right. And you've spoken with leaders across multiple companies, across sectors. I think you extensively quote the example of John Deere, the American agricultural company, as well as a lot of other firms. So could you, take us through some of these examples? Like, what are some of the most interesting examples that you've come across of companies successfully applying fusion strategy?
I think let's talk about a few. I think the first company that will come would be Tesla.
Right.
Because in automobile industry, historically, if you think about in the 20th century, a company like General Motors, it is a B2C brand.
Right.
But their processes stopped B2B. Mm. By that I mean, General Motors only knew how many cars they sold to the dealer, even though it is a B2C brand.
Right.
What Tesla did was essentially put sensors and computer vision in the car so that they know how the end consumer is driving Tesla every day.
Yeah.
Whereas General Motors didn't know that information.
Mm-hmm.
They only knew how many cars they sold. Whereas Tesla knows what the consumer is doing with the car every day. That is what we call product in-use data. Whereas industrial companies historically only knew product as sold data. Mm. And when you of product in use data, you can construct data graphs. And the idea behind data graph is nothing more than what we learned in high school algebra. Graph is a relationship between two variables, X and Y. If there is only two variables, I can take a paper and pencil and draw a graph. But if the data attributes that you collect is hundreds and hundreds, you cannot do it through paper and pencil. You need powerful machine learning, deep learning algorithms. That is what is possible now. So what Tesla does is takes the product in use data and analyze it across customers. So they collect data. I own a Tesla. They know how I drive, but they also have 2 million Teslas on the door on the road. So they compare my driving with what the experience of the 2 million other drivers, and based on collective learning, they are able to deliver hyper-personalized solutions in real time to me. This is exactly what Netflix did in movie making. That is what Tesla is doing. Now it is a physical asset company. It's got a car, but it is not really a car on wheels. It's a computer on wheels. It's apps on wheels. Therefore, they're able to solve my problem. The reason this is important is when you become a data and AI company, which makes automobiles, your possibility to expand your revenues goes beyond automobile industry. Tesla, for instance, is now a player in auto insurance. And the reason they're a player in auto insurance is essentially they can assess risk at an individual level. I am almost 75 years old. If I'm a careful driver, then they will quote me a lower auto insurance premium because they know my driving pattern. Whereas the auto insurance companies pool insurance, so based on demographics. So they will say someone who is 75 years is a risky driver and charge me a high insurance. Whereas Tesla is able to charge me insurance based on my driving patterns. That is how Tesla has essentially become a product in use data. These companies have creating value not by making their products better, but by collecting data on the products and using the data to solve customer problems.
In fact, you also have spoken with companies in India, right? I saw names like TVS Motors, Mahindra and Mahindra. What kind of infrastructure do companies here need in order to implement fusion strategy properly? And also to, because I think data regulations obviously differ, from between the US, the EU, and India. So what is the situation here in India that you've seen?
I think I personally believe fusion strategy may well be India strategy. I think India at 100, year 2047, we can actually have the number one leadership in GDP in the world. Today, we are number five behind US, China, Germany, and Japan. We can actually be number one in the world. Why do I say this? The reason I say this is, you see, so far what we have digitized is just the consumer sector because Google has changed the strategy in advertising. Netflix has changed the strategy in how we watch movies. Airbnb has changed the strategy in how we travel. These are all what I call consumer sector. And in the consumer sector, either we were dealing with pure information goods like Google, or we were dealing with analog products which just became 100% digital, like a camera. That's all we have digitized so far. And that has happened on the backs of one device called smartphones. Because in smartphones, individuals, either knowingly or unknowingly, we gave permission to these digital giants to collect data on how we listen to music, how we watch movies, etc. Because we quickly check that box.
Yeah.
I agree, so that we can get to the app. That is how these digital giants have been collecting this data.
Yeah.
That's all has happened in the last 17 years since iPhone was introduced in the year 2007. Now, think about the value we have unleashed when we just digitize the consumer sector. The value of companies like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, these are in trillions of dollars. That is based on just digitizing one sector, consumer sector. World's GDP is $100 trillion today. The $100 trillion, we have only digitized 25%. That means $20 trillion. And that we have created this kind of value. What has to be digitized is the industrial sector. That is $75 trillion. That is the opportunity in front of us. That may well be India's opportunity because we need to make two-wheelers. We have to make cars. We have to make tractors because those physical products have to be made. They will never become digital. Now, who is going to make them is the question. Historically, America has conceded manufacturing advantage, thinking manufacturing is a low-cost operation. Therefore, they sent manufacturing to Mexico, China, etc. They hollowed out. Now, China is clearly a manufacturing powerhouse, but given the US-China strained relations, we need another place at scale which can manufacture. That can well be India. But we can't manufacture in the 20th century way. We have to manufacture in the 21st century, which would be smart industrials. Therefore, we have to make connected cars. We have to make connected two-wheelers. We have to make connected tractors. Now, India is extremely well positioned because we have a vibrant manufacturing sector in the 20th century way. We also have a vibrant IT sector. Now, IT sector and manufacturing were moving in parallel. Now we have to fuse the two. And I have been talking to the CEOs of the Tata Group, Mahindra, TVS. They recognize this opportunity. Therefore, I am very bullish on India. This journey has just started. Therefore, no company can claim victory yet. Therefore, we have a lot of time to catch up. But Indian CEOs must have a clear strategic intent of how they are going to win in by year 2030 in fusion strategy and put in place a roadmap to get there.
You also mentioned how manufacturing is currently in the 20th century. How can India go, say, from low-cost contract manufacturing opportunities, which it is largely pursuing now, to more high-value-added manufacturing, which also has a lot of these, digitals, as you've called it?
This is the opportunity in India. India has very qualified computer scientists, software engineers, digital talent. And let us not focus on low-cost manufacturing. We cannot win that battle because there are other countries which are lower cost than India, Vietnam, Bangladesh, Pakistan, etc. Therefore, we have to focus on high value add. So we got to make cars which are intelligent cars. Therefore, we have to focus on moving up. And already, because of China problem, say electronics manufacturing is coming into India. This is a higher value add, making iPhones and so on and so forth. We have to use this opportunity to really push up on the value chain. And this is, I say, Indian companies should not focus on low-cost manufacturing, but on high-value manufacturing. And I think companies are recognizing this. I think companies like TVS, Mahindra, Tata Group, Birla, etc., they are saying, hey, here are Reliance, here is our opportunity to really, you know, this is another way to think about it. You see, in the US, we are a little hesitant to embrace AI wholeheartedly because we believe it will displace and disrupt white collar jobs.
Yeah.
You see, in India, we don't have that problem because we don't have enough white collar jobs. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough professors. We don't have enough doctors. Therefore, we will embrace AI fully to increase the productivity of our scarce white collar jobs because we have scarcity there.
Right.
If you have only doctors and you're going to take care of a lot of patients, you're going to increase the productivity of those doctors.
Yeah.
It's not a question of displacing and disrupting them.
Yeah.
Therefore, India has a unique opportunity to embrace AI wholeheartedly. Mm. And we have very talented people. Mm. So what I recommend is we need a coalition, policyholders, policymakers in the government, big industrial houses, small startups, venture capitalists, education institutions like IIT, come together and develop a blueprint for fusion strategy for India at 100 and say how India is going to become a leader in economics by 2047. And I think this opportunity, if we don't exploit, then I say this can also come back to haunt us because today, India's working age population is at a peak level.
Yeah.
And every estimate that I have seen, the working age population will be at a peak level in India until the 2050. That means we got 25 years to employ these working age population. And you cannot employ this working age population in IT services only. Therefore, you need a vibrant manufacturing. By the way, India today, we have optimal working age population that was similar to Japan in 1964.
Yes.
They had an optimal working age population. Today, it's an aging economy. So they have lost that edge. South Korea had this advantage in 1967. Now it is an aging economy.
Yeah.
China had this advantage in 1992. They're again an aging economy. India, fortunately, has the advantage. That's a 25-year advantage.
Yeah.
If we don't create a fusion strategy in the next 25 years, our demographic dividend will become a demographic curse because all Indians will become old and we don't have an economic base to support them. Therefore, I say this is an absolute must that Indian leaders step up and capture this opportunity.
Right. In fact, one of the practices that you've suggested to be core to fusion strategy is skilling and retraining of even today's workforce. So while India has a demographic dividend and, you know, can capitalize on that, how important is to even train not only the new or the youngsters coming in, but also today's workforce? Where does India stand there?
I think it is absolutely vital we reskill the workforce because fusion strategy is not a technology problem that you can delegate to a few data scientists. Fusion strategy is everyone's job because this is about developing strategy. And therefore, everybody should be conversant in how to use data and AI to make better decisions. Therefore, this is a business issue. That doesn't mean everybody should become a computer scientist, but everybody should have digital literacy. That means we got to train. Massive retraining is needed. Mm-hmm. And India has qualified people, but they need to be retrained if we want to capture this opportunity, without a question.
Right. And what kind of challenges do you see world over, but also particularly in India, with respect to adoption of fusion strategy?
I think the biggest issue in adopting fusion strategy is, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's not about technology.
Hmm.
It's about business leaders recognizing the value creation has changed fundamentally from leveraging physical assets to leveraging data.
Right.
And recognizing that is the starting point. The second is they need to understand what type of data to collect. Sometimes organizations collect a lot of data and they drown in data lakes.
Yeah.
We are not talking about volume of data. We are not talking about big data. We are talking about smart data. Therefore, we have to think about what data are you going to collect. The third is build digital talent. It is very, you cannot make fusion strategy happen unless you have the talent base. Therefore, aggressively recruit and train people in data and AI. So therefore, I would say the three things, CEO, it should be CEO-led. So recognize this need at the CEO level. Second, figure out what data you want to collect. Third is really strengthen your digital talent.
Right. In fact, you've also spoken about how companies should start thinking about AI as augmented intelligence rather than artificial intelligence. Can you elaborate on that?
Because ultimately, AI can augment human intelligence. It doesn't substitute. Therefore, you have to recognize that there will be transformation in the jobs, but it is not going to result in mass unemployment. What it will do is the kind of job humans do will change. And I am a college professor. I have always taught in one way. AI can augment the way I deliver education. So it doesn't obsolete me, but it helps me to deliver more education to my students. Therefore, we have to think about how AI is going to augment the jobs we do. That is why I say it is better to call it as augmented intelligence as compared to artificial intelligence. It is intelligent humans and powerful machines.
Right.
In combination is what creates value.
Now, for the last part of this conversation, Mr. Govindarajan, I want to turn the spotlight to your own life and career path. You've been in academia for many years now. You've authored multiple books. Yet it seems like you want to keep innovating. Like last year, you taught the first ever full-length MBA course in the metaverse. And you also shot a bunch of films here in India with a VR 360 camera. So what keeps you going?
You see, I got passionate about innovation fairly early on in my career. I grew up in India, and in my formative years, what I saw was lots and lots of problems, and our family had very few resources. And if you have lots and lots of problems, and you have very few resources, the only way you can solve your problem is through innovation. There is no other way. We can't throw money at the problem. We didn't have money. That's how I became fascinated by the topic of innovation when I was fairly young. It was my grandfather who gave me meaning as to what innovation is all about. And this is how it kind of happened. You see, when I was in school, I used to stand first in class.
Right.
And it wasn't that difficult because there are only 10 kids in my class. I know the other 9. I know how to beat them. Then I came to the university. My university had 25,000 students. And I didn't know any of them. And I stood first in the university, won the gold medal. And I took the gold medal and the transcript to my grandfather. And my grandfather kind of looked at the transcript. And he said, Viji, you only got 95 out of 100 in history. There is five possible marks you could have gotten. We got to close that possibility gap. You only got 90 out of 100 in English. There is another out of the possible here. My grandfather wasn't trying to intimidate me. He wasn't trying to embarrass me. He wasn't trying to humiliate me. What my grandfather told me was, Viji, never be satisfied in being a gold medalist amongst 25,000 students. That should never be your bar. Your bar should be your true potential. And your true potential is 100 out of 100. And if you can get that, obviously you're going to win gold medal amongst 25,000 students. That goes without saying. And if you want to achieve your true potential, you must continuously do innovation. That is the only way you can reach your true potential. What my grandfather told me was, don't make your competition irrelevant.
Right.
Don't do best practices benchmarking with the 25,000 students with whom you're competing. They're all irrelevant. If you're Procter & Gamble, don't look at Colgate-Palmolive. That leads to mediocrity. The only competition that matters is self-competition. And self-competition is about achieving true potential. By the way, as parents, you can either put pressure on your kids to perform or dare them to dream.
Right.
My grandfather wasn't putting pressure on me to perform. He was showing me the art of the possible. I used to be so excited when he used to say, hey, maybe your European history isn't that strong. I wanted to learn about that. The reason I'm saying this is I am 75 years, and as you rightly said, last year, and not only am I 75 years, I'm also a university professor. And at Dartmouth, university professorship is the highest distinction you can achieve. There are only two university professors here. So that means I have reached the peak. There is no more peak I need to claim. I'm at Everest in Himalayas. I've reached there. That means I don't have to do any more innovation.
Yeah.
But last year, I taught the first full-length MBA course in the metaverse, shot 26 films using VR 360 camera in India. So when tech students put on VR headsets on a magic carpet, they were taken to extraordinary places in India, met extraordinary people, had extraordinary conversations, all from the comforts of Hanover, New Hampshire. Why did I do that? I did that because I was searching within myself, is there any more potential left in me for pedagogical innovation? What my grandfather taught me was true potential is not a fixed commodity. True potential is never mission accomplished. Actually, for human beings, your potential explodes as you advance in age because of availability of new technologies, new possibilities. Right. Therefore, I have taken that to heart. Therefore, I always search for how can I innovate, either come up with, I have got so many ideas. Reverse innovation is a new big idea I introduced. Three-box solution is a big idea. Fusion strategy now is a big idea because I'm constantly innovating, coming up with new ideas, also innovating pedagogically. Because to me, innovation is part of who I am. That's my identity. Because I'm always searching for true potential. And I know true potential is something I can never reach. So the process of getting there means I have to constantly wake up every day and say, hey, can I do something different today?
Right.
So it's part of me.
What kind of innovation is keeping you busy these days?
I think the most exciting innovation that I'm doing now is I am creating a generative AI coach for the book, Fusion Strategy, which is going to be published in March this year. The book is going to be published in March. I'm creating a generative AI coach as a complement to the book. And the reason I'm doing this is a physical book is a static way to deliver knowledge.
Yeah.
By that I mean, I have already written this book 12 months ago. It's all final. It's 12 months ago. It's going to be published this March.
Yeah.
That means all the examples, Tesla, John Deere, Honeywell, Rolls-Royce that I use in the book are already 12 months out of date.
Yeah.
Because the book was already written 12 months ago. So what this generative AI coach I'm doing is, this is for people after reading the book, they interact with this coach. And I have updated all the case studies that I have in the book.
Right.
And I have collected data on 50 other companies in 50 different industries, which are not even in the book.
Wow.
So when someone comes to my coach, they are not only able to deepen their knowledge about fusion strategy, but get the latest example and see how it applies to other industries, including their own. So,
Right.
somebody, I'm in the quick service restaurant business. How do I product in use data? How do I construct data graph? This coach is able to do. You
Right.
see, the coach concept is almost like when you're reading a book, you usually have questions.
Yeah.
So when you're reading a book on data graph, you immediately have a question. Hey, is data graph different from big data? Is data graph different from any data? You want to
Yeah.
ask the author. If the author is sitting in front of you, you can ask the author, hey, what does it mean?
Wow,
But
that's
I could
brilliant.
be sitting in front of millions of people who are reading the book. But my digital avatar can be. And
Yeah.
that is what coach is. This coach is a digital avatar. So as soon as you go, it begins to answer those questions.
That's brilliant. And I really look forward to it, to how this shapes up in December. So thank you so much for your time, Mr. Govindrajan. It was wonderful speaking with you today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
To all our listeners, that was Mr. Vijay Govindrajan, and we were discussing his new book, Fusion Strategy. I hope you liked the episode. I am Divya Shekhar. See you next time.